giving us ability to believe, faith to accept what the Scripture says. And for by grace are you saved through faith. And then it goes on to say, which is the gift of God. And so the Lord gives us the gift of believing faith, understanding, and following Him as our Savior. Tonight we're going to deal with a subject that we dealt with many times, but just a little bit different tonight. We're going to be speaking on the faith on trial. And every one of us have faith. If we are believers, then we have a faith that has brought us into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, turn, if you would, in the book of 1 Peter. Familiar verses, but we'll be here for just a moment reading this, and then we'll turn back a few pages to the book of Hebrews and deal with the subject of the trial or the faith that is on trial. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 6, it says, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. These two verses here tell us that we are in a season sometimes of blessing, sometimes we're in a season of rejoicing, but there is that season that comes to an end and comes to a close, and sometimes through manifold testings or temptations that come to us. And those testings spoken of here are given that our faith may become more precious than gold, that we would be tried in the fire. Now, if you would go back to the book of Hebrews, just a few pages back, to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we deal tonight with a individual that's certainly no stranger to Christians. He's no stranger to the Jewish believer. He's no stranger to the Jewish unbeliever. And that's the man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham's the only man in the Bible that's called the friend of God. And so he has pretty high standing in the Scripture, has pretty high standing with the Lord. The Scripture says he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, we do not know exactly when he believed or when that faith came into perfection in Abraham's life. A lot of different suppositions, a lot of different thoughts on that. And I have my own, and it's no different, no better than anybody else's. But the main thing is that God saw that Abraham believed God. And when God saw that, and saw the belief and the faith and the trust that Abraham had, he says it was put to his account that he was righteous. The only thing that will make you and I righteous is the same thing that made Abraham righteous, and that's our belief in the things of the Lord, for salvation has always been the same. In the book of Romans, the Scripture tells us that Abraham is the father of them all that believe. And so we have a connection with Abraham in a spiritual family. He was many, many centuries before we lived, but yet he is called the father of us all that believe. And so Abraham is a very important character in the Old Testament. He's referred to many times in the New Testament. And here in the book of Hebrews, there's more verses about Abraham's faith, he and Sarah, than anybody else listed here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But let's, it starts in verse number number 8, but let's go over to verse number 17. We'll read verse 17, 18, and 19 in Hebrews chapter 11 and note some things concerning Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, when he had received the promise of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Here the Bible says that Abraham accounted unto God. God accounted unto Abraham righteousness because of his belief. Abraham and the Lord had a very close relationship. They had a close working relationship together. And God saw his faith. God used him. God saw his failures. And God saw all the problems that Abraham had in his life. And we know many of them that's given to us in the Scripture. But the life of Abraham is one that every believer can identify with. He was a man of both faith and failure. I can identify with the failure, probably more than I can the faith. I can identify with the personality of this Old Testament character by the name of Abram, that later his name was changed to Abraham. And so we find that Abraham believed God. It was given to him, counted to him for righteousness, and God called him out of his land, the land of Ur of the Chaldees. The Bible gives us that account in Genesis chapter number, a little bit in chapter 11, but also in chapter number 12, where Abraham is told of the Lord to get away from his kindred, from his people, from his country, and to leave that land and go to a place that God would show him, and that God would guide and direct him to get there. So Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he believed God. He trusted the Lord and had faith in the word of the Lord. God promised Abraham that he, as he sojourned, or as he traveled, that he would come to a land that would be a land of milk and honey. That would be a land that was a promised land unto him. And God had told Abraham that in that land, in the days of hardness, Abraham failed the Lord, and he fled to Egypt. And there he got in trouble. That's part of the failure of Abraham's life, some of the things that took place to him. But Abraham believed God for a seed. In Genesis, those chapters there, 12 on through, God gives the promise to Abraham that he was going to have a promised seed, or he was going to have a son. He was going to have one that would spring up into a multitude of being a great nation, and that God would bless that nation. Yet Abraham chose to not believe God fully and tried to take that all in his own time and way. Abraham believed God for a seed, but he didn't really think it would come through Sarah, like the Lord said. And just recapping some of the things that we have already many times gone over. And, of course, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah really made up the plan that Abraham would take the handmaid, Hagar, and that the Lord would use that union together to bring them a seed. For Abraham was, Sarah was well past childbearing age, and they did not take into account that God was going to do a miracle. Our God is a miracle-working God, and he many times does things that we know are impossible, but yet he can do it because there's nothing impossible with the Lord. And so Abraham was told that there would be a seed, and it would come through Sarah, but yet he hearkened unto his wife and took Hagar, and she had a child by the name of Ishmael. Ishmael continues to haunt Israel today. He was not that promised seed. He was a product of the flesh. He was a product of figuring it out, sort of like what we dealt with some things this morning. Before we seek the Lord, we try to figure everything out. So Abraham and Sarah said, we're too old to have children. Sarah's past the age of bearing a child. And so they worked out this plan, and Abraham and Hagar had a son, and his name was Ishmael. He's a result of a fleshly union together outside of the place where the Lord would have them. And of course, we know as the story goes on that God said he is not that one. He is not the seed. He is not the promised seed. For if Ishmael had been the promised seed, it would certainly have torn down the typology that we'll be looking at tonight in the promised seed that was in Isaac. We read the verses tonight that Abraham's faith has been tried. Ishmael has gone his way. Hagar has gone her way. And now the Lord tells Abraham, he says, take thy son, thy only son, and you take him to a place where I will show you or where I will tell you. Again, Abraham goes out not knowing exactly where he was going. He knew the area to Mount, in that area of Mount Moriah. And he did not know exactly where they were going, but he believed God and he trusted the Lord and he followed him. In our verses tonight, in verse 17, says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We know that story. God says, you take your son, your only son, and you take and you sacrifice him on the altar. And Abraham certainly was tried, and the Bible says he offered up Isaac. And in his heart and in his mind, he literally did offer up his son Isaac. But he also had the belief, had the knowledge, had the understanding that if the Lord had promised Isaac and God had proven to him that it was not the product of a fleshly union, but the promised seed was of a spiritual seed, Abraham had been convinced that he had done wrong. He had gone the wrong way. And Ishmael's out of the picture now as far as the promised seed is concerned. And he knew that God had given him a miracle birth in that young boy named Isaac. Isaac is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God tells Abraham, take your son, and you go to a place where I'll show you, and you offer up your son as a sacrifice to the Lord. So Abraham's offering was in type and in figure. And here we find the culmination of Abraham's faith. And certainly he was in a place where his faith was tested. And I believe Abraham this time passed the test. He didn't falter. He didn't fail. He didn't go back. He didn't ask questions. He didn't doubt. He came to this place in his life that he really believed God and he really understood what the Lord had done for him. And so he takes his son and he offers him and he gets ready to raise the knife or has the knife raised, and the angel of the Lord stayed his hand. But Abraham believed in his heart, and as we read here tonight, he believed that God was able. He had seen God honor his word time and time again. He had seen God promise and then make good on that promise many, many times in his life. And so he believed that God was able, if God gave him Isaac to be the promised seed, that means he would be a man that had children that would follow after him, that would be a great nation, and that did happen. And Abraham was convinced if God gave Isaac and God required him to offer his son on a sacrifice, he believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now that's more faith probably than we all have put together. Abraham believed God, and he understood that according to the writings here in Hebrews, that accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham's offering up of Isaac was on Mount Moriah. I personally believe that Mount Moriah is the location of Mount Calvary. I believe it's I believe it's the same place. And it's a hill far away from Abraham. It's a hill far away from you and I. But it's a place of sacrifice. And there in typology, Abraham offers up his son, and in reality, God offers up his son, and we have faith tonight because of that. These three verses that we've read here in the book of Hebrews gives us a prophetic application of what was going to take place in days to come. really in centuries to come. We find that this offering up of Isaac is a beautiful foreshadow of the love of God the Father giving His only begotten Son. From the very beginning of time, trials have always come to God's people. Faith has been on trial from the time that God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then their faith was tried. And you read the Old Testament and all the people that we know by name, and we know by much of what they did, those that are that stand out shining lights in the Scriptures, we know their life is spotted by trials. We know their life and their faith is tried many, many times. And of course, Abraham, as the excuse me, the father of us all, his faith was put on trial continually. But when Abraham went up the up Mount Moriah, he said, "We'll go up and we'll come back." I believe he had that faith before he ever got there, before he ever raised that dagger to kill his son Isaac. He believed that God would offer, if he permitted him to offer that, God would raise him from the dead. And so in type, Isaac becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. In type, Abraham becomes God the Father, willing to give his only son. Somebody says, "Well, now, we know that Abraham did not have just one son. We know he had Ishmael. But he only had one that God recognized. He only had one son of promise. And when you read the scripture here, the scripture says that it is his begotten son in verse number 17. And he that would receive the promises, the promise offered up his only begotten son. So in the heart of God, in the mind of God, Isaac is that son, only son of Abraham. Now there's a lot of offsprings of Abraham tonight, and they are causing a lot of problem to the son of Abraham. The difficulties, the Ishmaelites, are those in the Middle East tonight that are Muslim, and they are those that are wild as he was, and God does not recognize them as his people. As much as they claim Abraham, and they have a right physically to claim Abraham, they have a right in the flesh to claim Abraham as their father, but they have no right to claim Abraham spiritually. For Isaac is that promised seed, and Abraham in type took him up, and he is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ laying his life down as a sacrifice. Abraham delivered up his son for a sacrificial death in purpose, and in his heart and his mind, he smote him and killed his son. But thank God the Father, he delivered his son from that sacrificial death, and there was a substitute that also is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to Abraham, there are so many spiritual applications that can be made. Abraham is that great character of the Old Testament, the patriarch Abraham that really is the beginner and the father of the nation of Israel. He is the father of those of us that believe. So he has a physical seed, and he has a spiritual seed. He has that seed as the father of Israel, as the beginner of the nation of Israel. But he also is that one that has that spiritual seed that is my father and your father, because we follow his steps in belief. From Genesis to Revelation, there's only one way to be saved, and that's belief. Believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing upon the Messiah. To believe upon that one that was to come. The Jews would trust him, and they would know that God had promised a deliverer, and they kept looking for him. They were looking for him when he was born. And they said, "We have seen his star in the east." And so we find that those that were well versed in the Old Testament, they knew it's time for the Messiah to be introduced into the world. Only problem is they rejected him, they refused him, And now we are looking for the coming, the second time of that deliverer, and they're still looking for the first time. But we that believe, we are the children spiritually of Abraham. Abraham's son was only a man. Abraham offered up Isaac under divine command, and God stayed his hand and gave a deliverance. This is where you and I come in. Thank God for deliverance. Thank the Lord tonight for what God's did for, what he did for me and what he did for you one day. And we often think of Old Testament saints as maybe not knowing as much and not having, they're sort of ignorant in some areas. But I'll tell you what, the Old Testament saints, they believe and they look forward to a coming deliverer. They look forward to Messiah. They look forward to a Christ. And they, in that, had that hope and that knowledge from the word of the Lord. Now we know more perfectly through the scripture. We have the New Testament. We understand more than they did, but they really, when it comes down to faith, it took more faith for them than it did for us. They was looking for something that hadn't happened. I could look back historically and understand that Jesus was born and believe from the scripture that he was the Son of God. And so it all comes down to the central figure, the central point of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham's faith was always on trial. It was always under bombardment by the wicked one and by the enemies around. Sometimes we feel as though our faith is continually bombarded. We have the problems and the stresses of life. But Abraham's life, his faith, is set forth in these verses as one of the most wonderful examples found in the Bible of the Lord offering his son. Abraham believed God. And he believed him for the impossible. He believed God for that which was humanly impossible. And in his mind, he became and he was obedient to the Lord. When that happened, I know not for sure when it was really accounted to Abraham. But Abraham had a process going on in his life that he believed God. He trusted God. He honored God. And the Lord used him. And the Lord many times let those trials come. And faith did become on trial. Now turn over with me to the first verses that we read, and we'll look again in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And verse 6 and 7, wherein we greatly rejoice. The Bible says when Abraham was tried. And here these verses say that we greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Our rejoicing is not as prominent maybe as it should be or could be, because we're just doing that for a season. But if need be, in heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of our faith being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when he was tried. We probably can go back to a particular trial in our life. We can probably go back to more than just a few. We may have quite a few. We have problems in this life. We have problems at work. We have problems at school. We have problems many times in our neighborhood, in our families. We have problems with bills. We have problems with sickness. We're bombarded with problems. We're bombarded with struggles in this life. Problems started in the Garden of Eden, and they're not going to stop until the Lord puts an end to what we know of as time today. As God put man in the Garden of Eden, he sinned against the Lord, and God now has made man to work by the sweat of his face and a woman to both bear children and take care of the home, and she does that with much sorrow. These problems certainly can be a headache to us. It can be a problem in our life, and it becomes very, very hard to deal with. But they're there for a reason, that our faith may become stronger and our faith may become more of a factor in our life as we serve Him. The trying of our faith is to help our faith to grow. The trials that come to us are to grow us and to build us and to make us, we've already been made new creatures. Now the Lord's working on us continually, daily, that we be a creature or a person, an individual that just wants to serve the Lord in these mortal bodies so that one day our faith will be sight when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have problems of life. That's much understood. If I was to get a raise of hands tonight, how many of us have problems? Our hands would go up. Difficulties arise. Sicknesses come. Sorrows come. Tragedy comes. But thank God they're only for a season. Trials, faith may be on trial, and trials may come to us, but it's not going to last forever. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter number 23, and verse number 1, says, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter." Job said, I'm complaining and I'm complaining bitterly. Of course, you know the story of Job. He lost everything that he had. His faith was put on trial. His faith was put on a pedestal around him. And now everybody's looking and his friends are doubting him. And Job says, I complain bitter. He says, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Verse number 3, Oh that I knew where I might find him. Job has come to a point in his life that he really doesn't know if God's hearing him or not. If I could just find God, if I could just get some word from the Lord, the trials that came into his life. He asked the question, will he plead against me? No, but he would put strength in me, he says. There the righteous might dispute with me, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. He's talking to one of his friends. He said, you're judging me, but God is going to deliver me in this. And so the season of trials, the space of time of trials is just for a little while. It doesn't last forever. But when we, as I said the other day, when we get out of one problem, there's another one around the corner, another one over the horizon, there's another one that is right upon us. Trials become bitter, and sometimes we feel the Lord is silent. That's what Job, he said, if I could just find God, if I could just get a hold of the Lord. You read the book of Job, and Job come to the point that he believed the problem he was having because he was at ease in Zion. He had everything he ever wanted. He had no wants in his life. He was a rich man, the richest of his day, and he had everything set up just the way he wanted until one day all those messengers came and said, Job, you've lost this, you've lost this. Oh, by the way, your children are dead. And Job said, I need to find God. Where is he? Job was in a season of trials. But we know from the scripture that it only lasted for a little while. Because you read the last portion of the book of Job, you'll find God gave him double of everything that he had. And so we find there is a season of trials, and there's the sorrow of trials. Nobody likes heaviness. Nobody likes burdens. Nobody likes tears. Nobody likes sorrow. Nobody enjoys that. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 30 and verse number 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, thank God, joy comes in the morning. There is a better day. There is a greater day. There is a day when it's bright and the morning is there and joy will be upon us. Though we rejoice in our salvation and our faith, there's a lot of heartache and heartbreak from point A to point B. I know I'm going to heaven. You have the assurance in your heart that you're going to heaven. And you come to this point of believing God. And when you do that, you know what he does? He accounts you as righteous, just like Abraham. And we know that when we leave this world, we're going to heaven. But there's a space of time there that we live in that offers to us rejoicing for a little while, but it also gives us trials for a season. And we may have that assurance. We may have that knowledge. We may have that joy in our heart that I know I'm going to heaven. But boy, what's going to happen tomorrow before I get to heaven? What's going to befall me next week? What's going to come to me next year? What's going to come to me even before I pillow my head tonight? What's going to come my way? And God knows all about that. And we know that it's just for a little while. Joy comes in the morning. So there's the season of trials, there's the sorrow of trials, and then there's the value. And we come, it becomes more precious than gold tried in the fire. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." Paul, talking about light affliction, and he gives a list of what takes place in his life. He was beaten how many times? 40 stripes, save one. How many times was he put in jail? How many times was he bombarded with the enemies of the gospel? And Paul says here as he writes to the Corinthian church, it's just a light affliction. I don't think I would call it light. I think I'd call it very, very heavy. For he says here, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul is saying the same thing as Peter. Peter says our trials make us like gold tried in the fire. And Paul says that it works in us an eternal weight of glory. A weight of glory, and it's exceeding joyous. We rejoice in the temporary, but often in that temporary time, we are justly identified as the recipients of the judgments and the problems of this life. But Paul said it's just a light affliction. When compared to eternity, what is it? When compared to life forever, what is the temporary life that we live now? So there's a value of trials. Faith, performance. We find that Abraham offered up Isaac. The scripture does not say here that he tried to offer up Isaac. Scripture doesn't say he wanted to offer up Isaac. The Bible says here he offered up Isaac. And the scripture tells us that in that he received him in a figure. Believing in his heart, believing with all knowledge in his soul, that if God let him destroy that promised seed, God would raise him from the dead. Guess what? Thousands of years later, God destroyed his own son and he raised him up from the dead. We have the resurrection. And Abraham saw that resurrection. Abraham saw the day of Christ. He saw that in that action that was given to him by believing the Lord and carrying out the offering up of Isaac. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then the last part of that verse says, "And he will direct your path." He'll tell you which turn to make. He'll tell you which corner to go around. He'll tell you which pothole to miss. He'll tell you which mountain you don't have to climb. And he'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Faith performed in the life of Abraham completed the task, completed all those things. And you know what? Faith will perform in our life. And he will complete the task that we have to live and serve him. Lean not to thine own understanding. We trust in the Lord with everything that we have. And Abraham promised and believed faith's promise, even though he was on trial. Abraham believed it without doubting. Now, Abraham's had a lot of doubt in his life. Abraham has had a lot of failure in his life. But when he gets to this point, he doesn't fail now. He doesn't doubt now, because the scripture says here that he believed God. He accounted that God was able to raise him even from the dead. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. Well, there's a lot of things impossible with men. But he says, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things possible. Praise the Lord tonight that even though our faith many times is on trial, even though many times problems arise, it's just for a moment, it's just for a little while, and God will perform His work. And God will help us, and we know that everything is possible with the Lord. A lot's not with me, but it's all possible with Him. So when we go out these doors tonight, I may get a phone call before the day breaks. You may get a phone call before the day breaks. This has happened or that has happened. You never get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning that's a good phone call. Our phone rang the other day, 2:30. Nobody would answer. And I said, thank the Lord, nobody answered. Because those hours are when you get those messages that will try your faith. But I'm glad God's able to perform that which is impossible in our life. Abraham, prime example of the father of those of us that believe. And when he got to that point, no more doubting, no more struggling with what to do, no more questions, he just believed God. And God gave him his son. In type, gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. That centuries down the road, God would give his son, and he'd be offered as a sacrifice that we could have life. Let's stand together tonight.